since April of 1985. This is the DX Audio Service. National Radio
Club. Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for January 2011. Happy New Year. This issue is number 310. If you'd like to write to us, the new address for the DX Audio Service is Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251. My email is sales, S-A-L-E-S, at nrcdxas.org. Please change your address book to reflect this new address. A yearly cassette subscription to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for U.S. and Canadian members is $28. Tapes are sent by first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe or renew, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. Or if you're on the internet, you can sign up to eDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format on your computer. A subscription to eDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with the PayPal credit card system. Subscribe only if you're able to download and navigate a website by yourself. Well, let's navigate ourselves now over to the AM Switch. And welcome to AM Switch. We have three switches to report on this edition of the DX Audio Service. We'll start it out with AMS number 7810, and it starts with call letter changes. On 1010 WMEV in Marion, Virginia, is now WUKZ. 1060, the new station in Gilmer, Texas, is KOFY. But wait, you say it was KOFY? Well, you're right. KOFY's license was terminated in 2005 due to the licensee's failure to submit a filing fee with their renewal application. Now the FCC has taken pity on them and accepted KOFY's request for license renewal, and they've reinstated that call sign. 1400 WZFN in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, is now WFDM. Construction permits on the air, 1480 WWKO in Fairbluff, North Carolina, is now on the air with U1, 10,000 watts day, and a smoking 48 watts at night. 1600 KATZ in St. Louis, Missouri, those cats are now on the air with U4, 6,000 watts day, and 3,500 watts at night. Under actions, 1140 KZMQ in Ten Sleep, Wyoming. Their CP granted them to change the city license from Grable, Wyoming, and to relocate their transmitter site, and that will keep KZMQ remaining at D1, 10,000 watts day, and no watts at night. 1280 KYRO in Troy, Missouri. Their CP was granted to change the city of license from Petoskey and to change their facilities to the tower of KFSN-FM at U1, 660 watts day and 45 watts at night. And they're going to be using a folded unipole shunt ring antenna. A lot of technical jargon, but I can tell you it does work. 1470 KVSL in Sholo, Arizona. Their CP was granted to move here. Their X1450 with U1, 1100 watts day and 80 watts at night. Under applications, 1480 WYZE in Atlanta, Georgia. They're applying to move for U1, 10,000 watts day and 44 watts at night. 1690 WMLB in Avondale Estates, Georgia, applies to move its transmitter site to the tower used by WNIV 970 and WAFS 1190, and they will remain U1, 10,000 watts day, and 1,000 watts at night. Under dismissals, 1030 KVOI in Cortoro, Arizona, they had an application for U4, 10,000 watts day and 1,800 watts at night. FCC said denied. KVOI remains U4, 10,000 watts day and 1,000 watts at night. 1460 KTKC in Spring Hill, Louisiana. Their application was for U1, 5,000 watts a day and 160 watts a night, and they wanted to move to Nash, Texas. FCC said no, so KTKC remains in Spring Hill and U1, 1,000 watts a day and 220 watts at night. Looking here and there, returning to the airwaves, KCLA 1400 in Pine Bluff, Arizona, with Sporting News Radio, and WTRI 1520 in Brunswick, Maryland, returns with some Spanish programming. Let's return with AMS number 7811, and it starts out with construction permits on the air. 1460 KHOJ in St. Charles, Missouri is now on the air with U4, 5,000 watts a day and 210 watts at night. Under actions 1020, CKVH in High Prairie, Alberta is now silent, as their programming is now on CKVH FM 93.5. So write that one out of the log. 1020 is gone from High Prairie, Alberta. 1240, an interesting operation here. KRJY in Sacramento, California is operating under a special temporary authorization with U1, 250 watts day, 250 watts at night, as they lost the use of their transmitter site. What they're doing is they're operating from a 200-foot long wire antenna, which is oriented from the south-southeast to the north-northwest. You folks out there in the west, see if you can copy that station. 1490 KRSN in Los Alamos, New Mexico was granted a CP for U1, 1,000 watts day and 1,000 watts at night, which was really no change, but they're operating from a new tower using a folded dipole antenna. They had been operating from a temporary site under an STA since 2006. Applications for stations 740 KBRT in Avalon, California is applying for D3, 50,000 watts during the daytime, 191 watts at night, and they're moving to the former site of KPLS 830, and they will be building four new towers. Dismissals from the FCC 1240, Carbondale, Colorado, 1350 in Grisetown, Pennsylvania, 1450 in Tonopah, Nevada, and 1580 in San Luis Obispo, California. Strike those out of the log. They've been dismissed. License cancellations and call letters deleted. We have 1290 WCFI in Ocala, Florida. License canceled, call deleted. By the way, it's been silent ever since 2004. 1320 KEWA in Ewa Beach, Hawaii. That CP for a new station in Ewa Beach, Hawaii has been canceled. And 1360 WMFC in Monroeville, Alabama. License canceled, call deleted. Returning to the airwaves, or so we think, WLVE 610 in Winchester, Virginia, and WASP 1130 in Brownsville, Pennsylvania. However, Perry Craybill wrote to us and said, after hearing about WLVE 610 airing in Winchester, Virginia, I listened for it for a couple of days, but had no luck. I thought it strange because I live just outside of Winchester, and I finally called the local Clear Channel office and talked to Mark Kessner, their engineer, and he confirmed the idea that the brief on-the-air operation was for an STA just to keep the license valid. Clear Channel has no plans to put the station back on the air on a permanent basis, but it needs to retain the license long enough to facilitate its sale to an interested party. Under fines, $10,000 assessed to WQOR 750 in Oliphant, Pennsylvania, for failing to maintain a management and staff presence at their main studio. Let's move on to AM switch number 7812, and it starts out with CPs on the air. 600 WBWL in Jacksonville, Florida, their CP for U2, 5,000 watts a day, 1,800 watts at night, is now on the air. Under Actions, 610 CHNC in New Carlisle, Quebec, is now off the air as their simulcast period with their new FM at 107.1 has expired. Same applies to 1150 CHGM in Gaspé, Quebec. They are now off the air as their simulcast period with their new FM at 99.3 has now expired. 1550 WNZF in Bernil, Florida. Their CP has been granted for U2, 11,000 watts day, 250 watts critical hours, and 9,500 watts at night. That's increasing their day power, and it's adding critical hours parameters. Critical hours, by the way, is the time just before sunset and just after sunrise. 1550 CBE in Windsor, Ontario, on the 7th of December, 2010. The new FM at 97.5 was lit up, and it's intending to replace CBE as the station. So that means that CBE 1550 has only 90 days left on the air. So log it while you can. Amendments to construction permits, 1190 KZZQ in Fairview Heights, Illinois. This station was licensed at DeSoto, Missouri, with U4, 10,000 watts day and 22 watts a night. KZZQ has a CP to move to Fairview Heights with U4, 10,000 watts day, 650 watts a night. This request is for D4, 25,000 watts day and 0 watts at night, critical hours of 25,000 watts. Now, the omission of the nighttime power may have been unintentional, as many applicants assume that the night power from previous CPs are just held over. But we'll keep an eye out on this one. 1250 KZDC in San Antonio, Texas. License for U2, 1,000 watts day, 1,000 watts at night. KZDC has a CP for U4, 25,000 watts day, 2,000 watts at night. Now, this new application requests U4, 25,000 watts day, and only 920 watts at night. Under applications, 790 WBLO in Thompsonville, North Carolina, they're applying for U1, 10,000 watts day, 26 watts at night. 960 WCHQ in Quebradales, Puerto Rico, applies for U4, 390 watts day, 500 watts at night. 1170 WACV in Montgomery, Alabama. This station was licensed for U4, 10,000 watts day, 1,000 watts at night. WACV has been operating under a special temporary authorization with U1, 2,500 watts day, 7 watts at night due to weather-related damage to their towers and phaser system. They're now applying to go to U4, 10,000 watts day, 4 watts at night. 1370 WHYP in Cory, Pennsylvania. Their license has been reinstated, and their license renewal application has been accepted. 1410 WRHB in Leesburg, Florida. They're applying for U1, 5,000 watts day, and 88 watts at night. Under dismissals, 1110 WTIS in Tampa, Florida, they were licensed for D3, 10,000 watts day, no power at night. WTIS had a CP for adding 4,200 watts during critical hours. Now that CP has been dismissed. 1380 WNLA in Indianola, Mississippi, has been licensed for U1, 500 watts day and 44 watts at night. WNLA applied for U1, 390 watts during the daytime and 34 watts at night. Now, that application has been dismissed. 1540 WGRK in Greensburg, Kentucky. This station had been licensed for D1, 1,000 watts day, no power at night, 500 watts critical hours. WGRK initially applied for D1, 5,000 watts day, 0 watts at night, moving to 1,200 kilohertz at Jeffersontown, Kentucky. Then they amended their application to D1, 2,500 watts day, 0 watts at night, and again D1, 3,500 watts during the daytime, 0 watts at night. Now, this latest request has been dismissed, leaving them with the application for D1, 2,500 watts day, 0 watts at night, at 1,200 kilohertz in Jeffersontown, Kentucky. 1570 WFTU in Riverhead, New York, that application for U4, 5,000 watts day, 1,500 watts at night, has been dismissed. WFTU remains at U4, 1,000 watts day, and 500 watts at night. Finally, we did some checking, and as reported as silent, WLVE 610 in Winchester, Virginia. They were assumed to have returned for a few brief weeks, but this was to keep the license alive, so that station remains off the air. Under fines, WKNR 1220 in Cleveland, Ohio, the former WGAR, has been fined $4,000 for violating the contest rules requirements by broadcasting information about a contest without fully and accurately disclosing all of its material terms. WGYV 1380 in Greenville, Alabama, has been fined $1,500 for failing to apply for its renewal in a timely manner. Note, the station has a CP to move to Aurora, Indiana on 10/30, so this may muck it up a bit. KCKX 1460 in Staten, Oregon has been fined $6,000 for failing to reduce its power after local sunset. Imagine that. KABR 1510 in Isola, New Mexico has been fined $5,600 for failing to apply for its renewal in a timely manner and subsequent unauthorized operations. And finally, WPFC 1550 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana has been fined $7,000 for failing to apply for its renewal in a timely manner and subsequent unauthorized operation. And that's our AM switch for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. If you have any comments, concerns, bouquets, or brickbats, or maybe heard something on the air, why not send it to us at the DX Audio Service. I see Mark Dernberger standing up in Studio B, waving his arms, so let's switch it now over to Edina, Minnesota. Here's Mark Dernberger.
I'll add my voice to our best wishes for a terrific 2011 as we turn the yearly corner yet again on the DX Audio Service. Dernberger here, and the here is Wyoming. Now we're in Wyoming on our journey west from Minnesota to Utah and back, lugging a collapsible 28-foot flagpole antenna and the Perseus receiver. The flagpole antenna pickup is omnidirectional, and it pretty much performed as designed from all directions. The gimme, however, out here is the Wyoming terrain. Many AM stations are subject to shielding from mountains, so the antenna location becomes fairly important, as does the ground system, and just how critical the ground is to the flagpole antenna became painfully obvious a bit farther on into the journey. Since we abhor the interstates, we took the beautiful back roads of Wyoming on our way to Utah. That increased our chances of finding some IDs for you, probably last heard when our dear friend John Bowker was out this way. And because signals don't stop at state lines, you'll hear the occasional interloper from adjacent states. And if we run into any frequencies where we heard more than one station on a channel, we'll do what we did previously, head for the trusty Kiwa Loop for signal directivity to separate the stations. And you'll hear the familiar tone to indicate more than one station on the same frequency. We first planted the flagpole near Ten Sleep, Wyoming. There are some very cool town names in this state. All of them seem to have a story. Turns out Ten Sleep was an American Indian rest stop, so-called because it was 10 days' travel, or 10 sleeps, from Fort Laramie to the southeast, from Yellowstone National Park to the west-northwest, and from the Indian Agency on the Stillwater River in Montana. If you've been tracking this project since we first planted the flagpole in eastern South Dakota, you know that if we hear a station at one location, we make sure it's not heard again from a second stop. So that means that while we did hear some South Dakota stations near Ten Sleep, we'll save time by skipping them on this report since you've already heard them. So let's open the radio as we travel Wyoming to to see what was on the band in early September 2010. As Murphy would have it, the first station on the first stop didn't give an ID. It's KROE 930 in Sheridan, touching the community.
I'm Mary Jo Johnson. Here's something you should know. The city of Sheridan will be installing radio read units on homes and businesses in the areas west of Main Street between Smith and Burkett Streets, the areas around Kendrick Park. They will also be placing door hangers on homes with additional information. This message is brought to you by Citgo Federal Credit Union, inviting you to become a member today. Located at 502 North Main in Sheridan.
It's the Labor Day season, and that means the only thing you should be thinking about Labor Day.
AM KZMQ, Gray Bull, Wyoming.
I dedicate this song to the working man, for every man that puts in 8 or 10 hard hours a day.
Today's hits, yesterday's favorites. 1240 KTHE, Thermopolis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
Keep them well fed and they'll concentrate better. And keep it affordable with Blair's Market in Powell and Thermopolis. You're listening to 1260 KTOW, Powell, Cody.
I'm Sherry Preston. How much trouble would U.S. service members be in if the translators they brought with them
on the car, so that's something I was looking for.
To hear more of Tony's story and to learn more about Traverse, visit Chevy.com and may the best car win. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
News Talk 1270 KIML Gillette. News Talk 1270 KIML.
News Radio, Elisa Brady.
273-2223 or DaveRamsey.com.
You're listening to AM 1340 KWOR in Worland. For all your hunting, fishing, and camping supplies and more, visit the Outdoorsman. Open till 8 on Thursdays.
Fox News Radio, Elisa Brady. President Obama takes on Republican critics head-on.
Call 8-227-3223 or online at DaveRamsey.com.
This is Roger from Wyoming Diesel Power, your diesel pickup specialist and your authorized Cummins dealer. You're listening to KODIAM Cody, Wyoming.
CNN Radio, I'm April Williams.
Hi, this is Russ Davidson, Director of Programming for Sheridan Media. During the recent Wyoming Association of Broadcasters Convention, Sheridan Media took home 9 awards for WAB Large Market. Best Radio Commercial Campaign, Best Public Service, Best Promo, Best Commercial First and Second, Best Radio Show, Best News First and Second, and KWYO was awarded Station of the Year. Sheridan Media has won Station of the Year 5 years in a row. Sheridan Media, locally owned and operated, and proud to serve Northeast Wyoming.
5 decades, one station, classic country, 1410 KWIO, Sheridan, Buffalo, Bighorn, a Sheridan Media station.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry.
Progress meetings on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. at City Hall.
Hey, you're on to us. This is the station where country is country. Classic hit country, 1450 a.m. KBBS.
Did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world?
Next, the signals in the southwest corner of Wyoming. One thing we learned the hard way at this stop is how important ground conductivity can be to the flagpole antenna. We planted it not too far from Riverton, Wyoming, but we couldn't get a decent ground. As a result, the noise level masked a number of stations. Starting again on the left end of the dial, here are the few that snuck in over the noise. The first couple are tough. 590 is a rare three-letter call, KID in Idaho Falls, Idaho. 5 kilowatts at 160 miles, but having a tough time getting through the mountains. KGAB near Cheyenne was about what you'd expect from 250 miles away on 650 during broad daylight. And 730 is KURL Billings, Montana, 5 kilowatts at 200 miles.
3347, 15 minutes, could save you hundreds on time sharing. KID, Idaho Falls, KWIK-KEGE, Pocatello, a Town Square Media Station. Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stevens.
AM 650 KGAB. We are Cheyenne's number one news talk radio. AM 650 KGAB. Orchard Valley, Cheyenne.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley.
And Laura taking us up to 6 o'clock. We're at 69.
KURL Billings, 97.5 FM and AM 730.
Hi, I'm Bob Lucchese, and this is Truth for Life.
Listening to Southwest Wyoming's AM 940, KMAR, Cameron, Wyoming.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This is
B223 or online at DaveRamsey.com.
Wyoming radio station.
On the air at AM 1030 and online at K2Radio.com.
AM 1030, K2 Radio.
Depend on it.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley.
Great for the program and great for the earth as well. If you have some ink cartridges you need recycled, contact Tara Lawler at 789-6363 and she'll pick them up. Take them off to the, or you can just drop them off to the UNA County Recycling Center and tell them that you want to dedicate that to the Evans High School volleyball team. ABC News coming up next. We'll have more music after the break.
Stereo 1240. Evanston, Wyoming.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry.
I drank a little drink, smoke a little smoke. Y'all drank a little drink, smoke a little smoke. Yeah.
AM 1330, KOVE, Lander, Riverton.
Riverton, Ethany.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. President Obama hammered by Republicans.
Back our neighborhoods and communities from criminals and gangs. To learn more on how to do the right thing, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of the Town, AM 1360, KRKK, Rock Springs, Green River. Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley.
KJUA, Cheyenne, Wyoming.
La Frecuencia.
1380 AM.
El nombre.
Una estación más de la familia Broadcasting.
We
support the Wyoming Podcaster.
Talk radio for the rest of the Donkey D. Bell Show.
Kim Commander Computer Show.
AM 1400. HATL Custom. Real talk, real people.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard
Kinsey. 223 or online at DaveRamsey.com.
Talking about what matters to you.
It's the talk of Fremont County. AM 1450, KVOW, Riverton.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheelis.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
All roads in the Riverton area are dry. This message will be updated as road and weather conditions warrant. Please buckle up and drive safely.
This is the Wyoming Department of Transportation Advisory Radio, WQHS 744, serving the Riverton area on 1610 AM. This station will broadcast construction, road closures, and other emergency information.
The 1400 ID was Casper. A bit hard to understand, but hey, they're on a graveyard 125 miles away. So, not bad. Several of those stations did demonstrate the difficulty of getting a good capture, didn't they? Much of this part of the state is crisscrossed with high-voltage power lines, and a better ground than we could provide is really important to quiet reception. Hope you're able to copy those. Driving out here in southern Wyoming, you find some pretty flat, wide-open spaces in some areas, the basin in the famous basin and range concept. Cool highway signs appear now and then. Caution, sage grouse crossing road. And caution, antelope entering road at 55 miles per hour. And in all directions, mountains. The range in basin and range. It's rugged beauty, and it's an awesome experience, and I'm glad we could share this. Well, to keep our trip report in chronological order, there would now be a 3-day intermission from our Wyoming tour to visit the Utah desert. Then on the return to Minnesota, we re-entered Wyoming via the beautiful Snowy Mountains, and we cut through the southeast corner of the state to hear the following additional stations in order of frequency.
And the temperatures are forecast to the highs tomorrow, 75 to around the upper 70s, right near 80 degrees.
Classic Christian Radio, KUYO, Evansville, Casper. Kristen Jane Anderson was 17 years old and was ready for life to be over.
You'll find it only here on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
You are listening to ESPN Radio for Southeast Wyoming. AM 1210 KHAT Laramie.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
We're sometimes hard to talk to, but teenagers need their parents to keep communicating with them. You're listening to KASL Newcastle.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.
Well, first, these messages on the Rockies Radio Network. This is the Rockies Baseball Network.
Hunting season is just around the corner, and fishing season is always here. Got your eye on a new boat or camper? How about a four-wheeler? See our friendly loan staff at ACPE Federal Credit Union down at 2835 Grand Avenue here in Laramie for a loan as low as 4.99%.
Hi, Jack Corrigan here. You know, when you stop in at the West Laramie Fly Store, you might notice the diverse selection of flies, poles, and lures.
Today we'll get a reporter and ask him really the question, this is a rematch of a national title game, but how much better is this Ohio State team than the last few?
ESPN Radio is KRAE Cheyenne, KREO Pine Bluffs, KJMP Pierce, and translator K268BX Cheyenne. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Sandauer. Nobody's had a tougher early season.
That next to the last, the Rockies station with no ID, that was Laramie's KOWB 1290. All of which means we heard most, but not quite all, of Wyoming's 33 licensed AM stations, with a couple sneaking in from Idaho and Montana. Notably missing were three Wyoming signals hidden behind the Grovant Mountain Range on the western edge, two in Jackson and one in Afton, Wyoming. Others, sadly, were somewhat obscured by local noise. And one, 1240 KRAL in Rollins, was listed as silent. On the other hand, we had pretty good success with some of the graveyard stations at more than 100 miles. Overall, we'll give the Wyoming project about a B+. I'd like to continue with these state-by-state listening adventures in future columns, so if you have a particular part of the country you'd like us to visit with our flagpole antenna, please let us know on the musings line. And until we meet again, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. And just as a point of interest to DX Audio Service members, cool your heels on the musings line for the time being. We're trying to come up with something that's rather low cost to be able to do the musings, so we don't have to pass the costs on to the membership. So give us a little bit more time. I think we should have it solved by the February edition of the DX Audio Service. Okay, by a show of hands, how many of you have a Walkman? You know, those little cassette decks that you can attach to your belt and wear a pair of headphones and listen to audio cassettes? I know I have a few of them around. But looks like the Walkman is going to go into the annals of history. One of our new editors here on the DX Audio Service, Bruce Winkleman, has a story about the Walkman.
It's kind of sad when you hear of a technology often used being discontinued. The Sony Walkman will likely be on dealer shelves for the last time this year. This is because Sony has announced that the 31-year-old cassette tape-based unit is being phased out of production. The Sony Walkman cassette tape player changed music listening habits before becoming outdated by digital MP3 players. It has become, as ham radio operators call it, sort of silent key. This, after Sony announced on October 25th that it has stopped production of the cassette tape player in Japan, effectively sounding the death knell of the now obsolete portable audio device. If you're looking to put a date on the Walkman's tombstone, then October 25th, 2010 is as good as any. Perhaps October 23rd, 2001, the day the Apple iPod was launched, is the better date. But none of the success of Apple's portable music players and those of other manufacturers would have ever happened without the Sony cassette tape Walkman. Some 220 million Walkman players were sold since the first model, the TPS L2, debuted in July 1979. It was developed under the stewardship of Sony founders Akio Morita and Masaru Ibuka. Morita insisted the device be focused on high-quality mobile playback, which was considered a relatively odd idea at the time. Originally called the Soundabout in the U.S., Sony quickly replaced the Soundabout name with the Walkman designation. It retailed for about $200 and was an immediate sensation. In fact, it was quickly hailed by supporters as a total revolution in mobile music listening. But more than just portability, the Walkman fostered a personalization of one's music. In fact, the Walkman was also the father of the so-called mixtape. For the first time, music listening was something you could make very personal by arranging songs in the order you wanted to hear them. It was also a way of courting a future spouse or love interest during the 1980s and 1990s. For those of you too young or simply unfamiliar with this process, making a mixtape typically entailed gathering songs, putting them all on a cassette in the order you wanted them played, labeling the tape with care, and giving it to a love interest in school or elsewhere. The Walkman didn't disappear as much as it was improved upon by its creators and others. Sony continued to use it as a brand, but the company long ago surrendered style to Apple and the ubiquitous iPod. But one day the iPod will likely go the way of the 45 RPM record, the LP, and the Walkman. When that happens in some far distant time, that generation will be waxing nostalgic about its passing, just as we are today about the Walkman, as it becomes a part of electronic history. I'm Bruce Winkleman for the DX Audio Service.
Thanks, Bruce, and we hope to have you on a future edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service as one of our editors. You know, I'm one of those crazy people who reads the paper every morning and usually look at the obits section to see if there's anyone there that I know. And I've always thought that the obits would be far more interesting if you knew a little bit more about how the person passed away rather than the fact that they just did. Such as the case with AM Switch, we tell you basically what station got fined, the fine amount, and the premise. But you don't know all the finite details. And I thought what I'd do is, for the remainder of side one, read you one such case, just so you can get an idea of how the wheels turn at the FCC. This is in the matter of Victory and Power Ministries, licensee of WPFC in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It seems that the station was fined $7,000 for willfully violating Section 73-3539 of the FCC's rules by failing to file a timely license renewal application and for willfully and repeatedly violating Section 301 of the Communications Act of 1934 as amended by engaging in unauthorized operation of the station after its authorization had expired, which means that they were on the air after they had no license. It seems that back on February 8th of 2007, the Mass Media Bureau issued a notice of apparent liability or a forfeiture in the amount of $7,000 to the station for failing to file a timely license renewal application and for unauthorized operation of the station. As noted in the NAL, the renewal application should have been filed on February 1st of 2004, 4 months prior to the station's June 1st of 2004 license cancellation date. But it did not. The licensee did not file an application until October 14th of 2004, which was 4 months after the station's license had expired. On March 23rd of 2007, the licensee filed a response to the NAL. In its response, the licensee states that reduction or cancellation of the proposed forfeiture is warranted because, one, its failure to file a timely license renewal application was inadvertent, and two, it was unable to pay that proposed forfeiture amount. The forfeiture amount proposed in this case was assessed in accordance with the FCC's rules and regulations. In assessing forfeitures, the FCC takes into account the nature, the circumstances, extent, and gravity of the violation, and with respect to the violator, the degree of culpability, any history of prior offenses, ability to pay, and such other matters as justice may require. Now, the licensee first claims that the forfeiture should be reduced or canceled because its violations were unintentional. Specifically, the licensee claimed that it failed to file a timely renewal application because they had different station managers and changes at the station during the last renewal cycle. As the commission has held, however, violations resulting from such inadvertent errors or failures to become familiar with the FCC's requirements are, quote, willful violations, unquote. And they have declined to reduce or cancel forfeitures in similar circumstances. Accordingly, the FCC finds that this argument is without merit. Next, the licensee argues that the forfeiture should be reduced or canceled because it would cause significant financial hardship to the station. The commission will not consider reducing or canceling a forfeiture in response to a claim of inability to pay unless the petitioner submits, one, a federal tax return for the recent 3-year period, two, financial statements prepared according to GAAP, or three, some other reliable and objective documentation that accordingly reflects the petitioner's current financial status. Any claim of inability to pay must also specifically identify the basis for the claim by referring to the financial documentation which is submitted. In general, a licensee's gross revenues are the best indicator of its ability to pay a forfeiture. The FCC recognizes that in some cases, other financial indicators such as net losses may also be relevant. If gross revenues are sufficiently great, however, the mere fact that the business is operating at a loss does not by itself mean that it cannot afford to pay. Well, according to the licensee, that they provided their balance sheets prepared by a certified public accountant for the years of 2003, 2004, and 2005, and those balance sheets show a gross revenue of approximately $414,000, $585,000, and $391,000. The $7,000 forfeiture in this case represents 1.5% of the licensee's average gross revenues over the 3 years for which information was provided. In considering claims of financial hardship, the FCC has previously found that forfeiture amounts as high as 5% of gross revenues seem to be reasonable. And the Enforcement Bureau has found that a forfeiture as high as 7.9% of the violator's gross revenues was not excessive despite claims of financial hardship. The FCC is thus unwilling to cancel or reduce a forfeiture in this case because the forfeiture represents a small percentage of the licensee's gross revenues. So, there you have it. That's basically how the FCC does business and how they rule on different cases. And if you're a licensee of a radio station, it really behooves you to keep on top of the rules and regulations to know what is legal and what is not.
It's a big D kind of a day. I'm in a big D kind of a way. Got my head in the clouds, but my feet are still walking on the ground. It's a big D kind of a day. And I hope that this feeling stays. Gonna listen to some good time music.
On side two of the magazine, we've got Phil Wayne. He'll give us the rest of the market scope that Tim Hendel put together. And then we've got some more news and notes from around. And perhaps, just perhaps, we'll be able to put a contest in. So stick around for your January 2011 edition of the DX Audio Service.
At this time, please turn over your tape to side two.